London, 1912. 11:15 on a wet summer evening. Pedestrians running for shelter into the portico of St. Paul's, Covent Garden. Among them, a lady and her daughter in evening dress.
I'm getting chilled to the bone, Mother. What can Freddy be doing all this time? He's been gone 20 minutes.
Not so long as that, Clara, dear. But he ought to have got us a cab by this.
If he had a bit of gumption, he would have got one at the theatre door. Other people got cabs. Why couldn't he?
Oh, yes,
you. I'm just about wet through.
Well, haven't you got a cab?
There's not one to be had for love or money.
Oh, Freddy, there must be one. You can't have tried.
It's too tiresome. Do you expect us to go and get one ourselves?
Oh, very well, I'll try again. But I shall simply get soaked for nothing.
Steady, dear. Do be careful.
Now then, Freddy, look where you're going, dear.
Sorry.
Oh, there's manners for you. Two bunches of violets trod into the mud.
How do you know that my son's name is Freddy, pray?
Oh, he's your son, is he? Well, if you'd done your duty by him as a mother should, he'd know better than to spoil a poor girl's flowers and run away without paying. Will you pay me for them?
Do nothing of the sort, Mother. The idea!
Please allow me, Clara. Oh, dear. Have you any pennies?
No. I have nothing smaller than a sixpence.
Give it to me. Oh. Now, this is for your flowers.
Oh, thank you kindly, lady.
Sixpence thrown away.
Excuse me, can I push in? It's come on worse than ever now.
Oh, dear.
If it's worse, it's a sign it's nearly over. So cheer up, Captain. Buy a flower off a poor girl.
I'm sorry, I haven't any change.
Gown? I'll do buy a flower off me, Captain. I can change half a crown. Take this for tuppence.
Now, don't be troublesome. There's a good girl. I really haven't any change. Oh, stop. Oh, here's three halfpence. Is that any use to you?
Thank you, sir.
You be careful, my girl. Give him a flower for it. There's a bloke here behind taking down every blessed word you're saying.
I ain't done nothing wrong by speaking to the gentleman. I've a right to sell flowers if I keep off the curb. I'm a respectable girl, so help me. I never spoke to him except to ask him to buy a flower.
Who's hurting you, you silly girl? What do you take me for?
No, it's all right. He's a gentleman. Look at his boots. She thought you was a copper's knock, sir.
What's a copper's knock?
Why, it's a copper's knock, as you might say. I mean, what else would you call it? A sort of informer.
I'll take my Bible.
Oh, shut up. Shut up. Do I look like a policeman?
Then what did you take down my words for? How do I know you took me down right? You just show me what you wrote about me.
All right. There you are.
What's that? That ain't proper writing. I can't read that.
I can. Cheer up, Captain. Now buy a flower off a poor girl.
It's because I called him Captain! I didn't mean no harm! Oh, sir, don't let him lay a charge against me for a word like that!
Charge? I make no charge. Really, sir. If you are a detective, you need not begin protecting me against molestation by young women until I ask you. Anybody could see that the girl meant no harm.
No, he ain't a tech. He's a blooming busybody, that's what he is. I tell you, look at his boots.
And how are all your people down at Celsius?
Who told you my people come from Celsius?
Never you mind. They did. And how do you come to be up so far east? You were born in Lisson Grove.
Oh, what harm is there in my leaving Lisson Grove? Wasn't fit for a pig to live in. And I had to pay 4 and 6 all week.
Live where you like, but stop that noise.
You take us for dirt under your feet, don't you? Catch you taking liberties with one of your own class. You tell this gentleman here where he comes from if you want to go fortune telling.
Cheltenham, Harrow, Cambridge, and India.
Quite right.
Oh,
May I ask, sir, do you do this for your living in a music hall?
I've thought of that. Perhaps I shall someday.
He's no gentleman. He ain't to interfere with a poor girl.
What on earth can Freddie be doing, Mother? I shall get pneumonia if I stay in this draught much longer.
Earl's Court.
Will you please keep your impertinent remarks to yourself?
Oh, did I say that out loud? I didn't mean to. I beg your pardon. Your mother's Epsom, unmistakably.
Oh, very curious. I was brought up in Large Lady Park near Epsom.
What a devil of a name. Excuse me. You want a cab, do you?
Don't dare speak to me.
Oh, please, please, Clara. We should be so grateful to you, sir, if you found us a cab.
I don't know whether you've noticed it, but the rain stopped about 2 minutes ago.
Oh, so it has. It's quite fine now, Clara. We can walk to a motor bus. Come.
With the cab. Oh, how tired.
How do you do it, if I may ask, this fortune-telling business, I mean?
Simply phonetics. The science of speech. That's my profession, also my hobby. Happy is the man who can make a living by his hobby. You can spot an Irishman or a Yorkshireman by his brogue. I can place any man within 6 miles. I can place him within 2 miles in London, sometimes within two streets.
To be ashamed of himself, a manly cat.
But is there a living in that?
Oh, yes. Quite a fat one. This is an age of upstarts. Men begin in Kentish Town with £80 a year and end up in Park Lane with 100,000. They want to drop Kentish Town, but they give themselves away every time they open their mouths. Now, I can teach them.
Let him mind his own business and leave a poor girl.
Woman, cease this detestable boo-hooing instantly. Or else seek the shelter of some other place of worship.
I've a right to be here if I like, same as you.
A woman who utters such depressing and disgusting sounds has no right to be anywhere, no right to live. Remember that you are a human being with a soul and the divine gift of articulate speech. That your native language is the language of Shakespeare and Milton and the Bible. And don't sit there crooning like a bilious pigeon. Heavens, what a sound. You see, this creature with her curbstone English, the English that will keep her in the gutter to the end of her days. Well, sir, in 3 months I could pass that girl off as a duchess at an ambassador's garden party. I could even get her a place as a lady's maid or a shop assistant, which requires better English. That's the sort of thing I do for commercial millionaires. And on the profits of it, I do genuine scientific work in phonetics and a little as a poet on Miltonic lines.
I am myself a student of Indian dialects.
Are you? Do you know Colonel Pickering, the author of Spoken Sanskrit?
I am Colonel Pickering. Who are you?
Henry Higgins, author of Higgins' Universal Alphabet.
I came from India to meet you.
And I was going to India to meet you.
Well, where do you live?
27A Wimpole Street. Come and see me tomorrow.
I'm at the Carlton. Come with me now, and let's have a jaw over some supper.
Right you are.
Buy a flower, kind gentleman. I'm short for me lodging.
Liar. You said you had change for half a crown.
You ought to be stuffed with nails, you ought. Here, take the old blooming basket for sixpence.
There you are.
Two ladies that were here.
They walked the bus when the rain stopped.
And left me with a cab on my hands. Damnation!
Never mind, young man. I'm going home in a taxi.
E-E-I. You.
Well, Pickering, I think that's the whole show. Would you like to go over any of it again?
No, thank you. Not now. I'm quite done up for this morning.
Tired of listening to sound?
Yes, it's a fearful strain. I rather fancy it myself, because I can pronounce 24 distinct vowel sounds, but your 130 beat me. I can't hear a bit of difference between most of them.
Well, that comes with practice. You hear no difference at first, but you keep on listening, and presently you find they're all as different as A from B.
Please, sir.
Yes, Mrs. Pierce, what is it?
A young woman wants to see you, sir.
A young woman? What does she want?
Well, sir, she says you'll be glad to see her when you know what she's come about. She's quite a common girl, sir. Very common indeed.
Has she an interesting accent?
Oh, something dreadful, sir, really.
Let's have her up, Pickering.
Show her up, Mrs. Pierce.
Oh, very well, sir. It's for you to say.
She's rather a bit of luck. I'll show you how I make records. We'll set her talking, and I'll take her down first in Bell's visible speech, then in broad Romic, and then we'll get her on the phonograph so that you can turn her on as often as you like with the written transcript before you.
This is the young woman, sir.
Why, this is the girl I jotted down last night. She's no use. For all the records I want of Listen Grove lingo, I'm not going to waste another cylinder on it. Be off with you. I don't want you.
Do I know what I come for yet? Did you tell him I come in a taxi?
Nonsense, girl. What do you think a gentleman like Mr. Higgins cares what you came in?
Ooh, we are proud. He ain't above giving lessons, not him. I heard him say so. Well, I ain't come here to ask for any compliment, and if my money's not good enough, I can go elsewhere.
Good enough for what?
Good enough for you. Now you know, don't you? I'm come to have lessons, I am. And to pay for 'em too, make no mistake.
Well... What do you expect me to say to you?
Well, if you was a gentleman, you might ask me to sit down, I think. Didn't I tell you I'm bringing you business?
Pickering, shall we ask this baggage to sit down, or shall we throw her out of the window?
Ow! I won't be called a baggage when I've offered to pay like a lady.
Now, what is it you want, my girl?
I want to be a lady in a flower shop, instead of selling at the corner of Tottenham Court Road. But they won't take me unless I can talk more genteel. He said he could teach me. Well, here I am ready to pay him, not asking any favour, and he treats me as if I was dirt.
How can you be such a foolish, ignorant girl as to think you could afford to pay Mr. Higgins?
Why shouldn't I? I know what lessons cost as well as you do, and I'm ready to pay.
How much?
Now you're talking. I thought you'd come off it when you saw a chance of getting back a bit of what you chucked at me last night. You'd had a drop in, hadn't you?
Sit down.
If you're going to make a compliment of it...
Sit down. What's your name?
Liza Doolittle.
Well, let's get to business. How much do you propose to pay me for the lessons?
Oh, I know what's right. A lady friend of mine gets French lessons for 18 pence an hour from a real French gentleman. Well, you wouldn't have the face to ask me the same for teaching me my own language as you would for French. So, I won't give you more than a shilling. Take it or leave it.
You know, Pickering... If you consider a shilling not as a simple shilling, but as a percentage of this girl's income, it works out as fully equivalent to 60 or 70 guineas from a millionaire.
How so?
Well, figure it out. A millionaire has about £150 a day. She earns about half a crown.
Who told you I
own? She offers me 2/5 of her day's income for a lesson. 2/5 of a millionaire's income for a day would be somewhere about £60. It's handsome. By George, it's enormous. It's the biggest offer I've ever had.
£60? What are you talking about? I never offered you £60. Where would I get it?
Hold your tongue.
But I ain't got £60.
Oh, don't cry, you silly girl. Sit down. Nobody is going to touch your money.
Well, somebody's going to touch you with a broomstick if you don't stop snivelling. Sit down.
I would think you was my father.
If I decide to teach you, I'd be worse than two fathers to you. Here, take my handkerchief.
This for?
To wipe your eyes. To wipe any part of your face that feels moist. Remember, that's your handkerchief and that's your sleeve. Don't mistake the one for the other if you wish to become a lady in a shop.
It's no use talking to her like that, Mr. Higgins. She doesn't understand you.
Higgins, I'm interested. What about the ambassador's garden party? I'll say you're the greatest teacher alive if you make that good. I'll bet you all the expenses of the experiment you can't do it. And I'll pay for the lessons.
Oh... You are real good. Thank you, Captain.
It's almost irresistible. She's so deliciously low, so horribly dirty.
Oh, I ain't dirty. I wash my face and hands before I come, I hearted.
You're certainly not going to turn her head with flattery, Higgins.
Oh, don't say that, sir. There's more ways than one of turning a girl's head, and nobody can do it better than Mr. Higgins, though he may not always mean it. I do hope, sir, you won't encourage him to do anything foolish.
What is life but a series of inspired follies? The difficulty is to find them to do. Never lose a chance. It doesn't come every day. I shall make a duchess out of this draggle-tailed gutter snipe. Yes, in 6 months, in three if she has a good ear and a quick tongue, I'll take her anywhere and pass her off as anything. We'll start today. Now, this moment. Take her away and clean her, Mrs. Pierce. Pumice stone if you won't come off any other way. Is there a good fire in the kitchen?
Yes.
Take all her clothes off and burn them. Ring up for new ones. Wrap her up in brown paper till they come.
You're no gentleman. You're not to talk of such things. I'm a good girl, I am, and I know what the like of you are, I do.
We want none of your Listen Grove prudery here, young woman. You've got to learn to behave like a duchess. Take her away, Mrs. Pierce. If she gives you any trouble, wallop her.
No! I'll call the police, I will.
I've no place to put her.
But put her in the dustbin.
Oh, come, Higgins, be reasonable.
You must be reasonable, Mr. Higgins. Really, you must.
Well, what's the matter?
Well, the matter is, sir, that you can't take a girl up like that as if you were picking up a pebble on the beach.
Well, why not?
Why not? But you don't know anything about her. What about her parents?
I ain't got no parents. They told me I was big enough to earn my own living and turn me out.
Where's your mother?
I ain't got no mother. Her that turned me out was my sick stepmother. But I done without them. And I'm a good girl, I am.
Well, very well, then. What on earth is all this fuss about? The girl doesn't belong to anybody, is no use to anybody but me. You can adopt her, Mrs. Pierce. I'm sure a daughter would be a great amusement to you.
But
now,
sir,
don't make any more fuss. Take her downstairs.
But what's to become of her? Is she to be paid anything? Oh, do be sensible, sir.
Oh, pay her whatever is necessary. Put it down in the housekeeping book. What on earth will she want with money? She'll have her food and her clothes. She'll only drink if you give her money.
Oh, you are a brute. It's a lie. Nobody ever saw the sign of liquor on me.
Does it occur to you, Higgins, that the girl has some feelings?
Oh, no. I don't think so. Not any feelings that we need bother about. Have you, Eliza?
I've got my feelings same as anyone else.
You see the difficulty?
What difficulty?
To get her to talk grammar. The mere pronunciation is easy enough.
I don't want to talk grammar. I want to talk like a lady.
Will you please keep to the point, Mr. Higgins? I want to know on what terms the girl is to be here. Is she to have any wages? And what is to become of her when you've finished your teaching? You must look ahead a little.
What's to become of her if I leave her in the gutter? Tell me that, Mrs. Pierce.
That's her own business, not yours, Mr. Higgins.
Well, when I've done with her, we can throw her back into the gutter, and then it will be her own business again, so that's all right.
Oh, you've no feeling art in you. You don't care for nothing but yourself.
Listen, Eliza, I think you said you came in a taxi.
Well, what if I did? I've as good a right to take a taxi as anyone else.
You have, Eliza. And in future you shall have as many taxis as you want. You shall go up and down and round the town in a taxi every day. Think of that, Eliza.
Mr. Higgins, you're tempting the girl. It's not right. She should think of the future.
Mrs. Pierce is quite right. If this girl is to put herself in your hands for 6 months for an experiment in teaching, she must understand thoroughly what she's doing.
How can she? She's incapable of understanding anything. Besides, do any of us understand what we're doing? If we did, would we ever do it?
Very clever, Higgins, but not sound sense. Miss Doolittle.
There! That's all you'll get out of Eliza. Oh, no use explaining. As a military man, you ought to know that. Give her her orders. That's what she wants. Eliza, you are going to live here for the next 6 months, learning how to speak beautifully like a lady in a florist shop. If you are good and do whatever you're told, you shall sleep in a proper bedroom and have lots to eat and money to buy chocolates and take rides in taxis. If you are naughty and idle, you will sleep in the back kitchen among the black beetles and be walloped by Mrs. Pierce with a broomstick.
No.
At the end of 6 months, you shall go to Buckingham Palace in a carriage, beautifully dressed. If the king finds out that you're not a lady, you will be taken by the police to the Tower of London, where your head will be cut off as a warning to other presumptuous flower girls. If you are not found out, you shall have a present of 7 and 6 pence to start life with as a lady in a shop. If you refuse this offer, you will be a most ungrateful and wicked girl, and the angels will weep for you. Now, are you satisfied, Pickering? Can I put it more plainly and fairly, Mrs. Pierce?
I think you'd better let me speak to the girl properly in private. I don't know that I can take charge of her or consent to the arrangement at all. Of course, I know you don't mean her any harm, but when you get what you call interested in people's accents, you never think nor care what may happen to them or you. Come with me, Eliza.
Thank you, Mrs. Pierce. Bundle her off into the bathroom.
No, no. You are a great bully, you are. I won't stay here if I don't like. I won't let nobody wallop me. I never asked to go to Buckingham Palace, I didn't. I was never in trouble with the police, not me. I'm a good girl.
Don't answer back, girl.
No, no, leave me be.
You don't understand the gentleman. Come with me.
Well, what I say is right. I won't go near the king, not if I'm going to have my head cut off. If I'd known what I was letting myself in for, I wouldn't have come here.
This way.
I've always been a good girl, and I never offered to say a word to him, and I don't owe him nothing, and I don't care. I won't be put upon, and I have my feelings same as anyone else.
Excuse the straight question, Higgins. Are you a man of good character where women are concerned?
Have you ever met a man of good character where women are concerned?
Yes, very frequently.
Well, I haven't. I find that the moment I let a woman make friends with me, she becomes jealous, exacting, suspicious, and a damned nuisance. I find that the moment I let myself make friends with a woman, I become selfish and tyrannical. Women upset everything. When you let them into your life, you find that the woman is driving at one thing and you're driving at another. So here I am, a confirmed old bachelor, and likely to remain so.
Oh, come, Higgins, you know what I mean. If I'm to be in on this business, I shall feel responsible for that girl. I hope it's understood that no advantage is to be taken of her position.
What? That thing? Sacred, I assure you. You see, she'll be a pupil, and teaching would be impossible unless pupils were sacred. I've taught scores of American millionaires how to speak English. The best-looking women in the world. I'm seasoned. They might as well be blocks of wood. I might as well be a block of wood. Well, Mrs. Pierce, what is it?
If you please, sir, the trouble's beginning already. There's a dustman downstairs. Alfred Doolittle wants to see you. He says you have his daughter here.
Ooh, I say.
Send the blackguard up.
Very well, sir.
He may not be a blackguard, Higgins.
Nonsense. Of course he's a blackguard.
Well, whether he is or not, I'm afraid we shall have some trouble with him.
No, I think not. If there is any trouble, he shall have it with me, not I with him. And we're sure to get something interesting out of him.
About the girl?
Well, no. I mean his dialect.
Oh.
Doolittle, sir.
Professor Higgins.
Here. Good morning.
Morning, Governor. I come about a very serious matter, Governor.
Brought up in Hounslow, Mother Welsh, I should think. What do you want, Doolittle?
I want my daughter. That's what I want, see?
Of course you do. You're her father, aren't you? You don't suppose that anyone else wants her, do you? I'm glad to see you have some spark of family feeling left. She's upstairs. Take her away at once.
What?
Well, take her away. Do you suppose I'm going to keep your daughter for you?
Now, look here, Governor. Is this reasonable? Is it fair of me to take advantage of a man like this? I mean, the girl belongs to me, and you've got her. Where do I come in?
Your daughter had the audacity to come to my house and ask me to teach her how to speak properly so that she could get a place in a flower shop. This gentleman and my housekeeper have been here all the time. How dare you come here and attempt to blackmail me? You sent her here on purpose.
No, Governor.
You must have. How else could you possibly know that she is here?
Don't take a man up like that, Governor.
The police shall take you up. This is a plant. A plot to extort money by threats. I shall telephone for the police.
Have I asked you for a brass farthing? I mean, I'll leave it to the gentleman here. Have I said a word about money?
What else did you come for?
Well, what would a man come for? Be human, Governor.
Alfred, did you put her up to it?
So help me, Governor, I never did. I take my Bible oath I ain't seen the girl these 2 months past.
Then how did you know she was here?
I'll tell you, Governor, if only you'll let me get a word in. I'm willing to tell you, I'm wanting to tell you, I'm waiting to tell you.
Pickering, this chap has a certain natural gift of rhetoric. Observe the rhythm of his native wood notes wild. I'm willing to tell you, I'm wanting to tell you, I'm waiting to tell you. Sentimental rhetoric, that's the Welsh strain in him. It also accounts for his mendacity and dishonesty.
Well, please, Higgins, I'm West Country myself. How did you know the girl was here if you didn't send her?
It was like this, Governor. The girl took a boy in the taxi to give him a jaunt. Son of her landlady, he is. He hung about on the chance of her giving him another ride home. Well, she sent him back for her luggage when she heard you was willing for her to stop here. I met the boy at the corner of Longacre and Endell Street.
How much luggage?
Musical instrument, Governor. A few pictures, a trifle of jewellery and a birdcage. She said she didn't want no clothes. Now, what was I to think from that, Governor? I mean, I ask you as a parent, what was I to think?
So you came to rescue her from worse than death, eh?
Just so, Governor, that's right.
But why did you bring her luggage if you intended to take her away?
Well, have I said a word about taking her away? Have I now?
You're going to take her away, double quick. Pickering, ring for Mrs. Pierce.
Certainly.
But no, Governor, don't say that. I'm not the man to stand in my girl's light. Here's a career opening for her, as you might say.
You rang, sir.
Mrs. Pierce, this is Eliza's father. He's come to take her away. Give her to him.
No, no, this is a misunderstanding. Listen here.
He can't take her away, Mr. Higgins. How can he? You told me to burn her clothes.
That's right. I can't carry the girl through the streets like a blooming monkey, can I? I put it to you.
You've put it to me that you want your daughter. Take your daughter. If she has no clothes, go out and buy her, sir.
But where's the clothes she come in? I mean, did I burn them or did your missus here?
I am the housekeeper, if you please. I have sent for some clothes for your girl. When they come, you can take her away. You can wait at the kitchen. This way, please.
Look, listen here, Governor. You and me is men of the world, ain't we?
Oh, men of the world, are we? You better go, Mrs. Pierce.
I think so, indeed, sir.
The floor is yours, Mr. Doolittle.
Oh, thank you, Governor. Well, the truth is, I've taken a sort of fancy to you, Governor. And if you want the girl, I'm not so set on having her back home again, but what I might be open to an arrangement. I mean, regarded in the light of a young woman, she's a fine, handsome girl. As a daughter, she's not worth her keep. And so I tell you straight. All I ask is my rights as a father. And you're the last man alive to expect me to let her go for nothing. For I can see you're one of the straight sort, Governor. Well, what's a £5 note to you?